Good morning, church. This morning's Old Testament lesson comes to us from Psalm 51, verses 1 through 12. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. This, my friends, is the word of the Lord. This morning's New Testament lesson comes from 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. Hear now these words. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
How often do you forget things? How often do you forget things? Oh no, not little things like your keys, but big things. Like the time many, many years ago, when I was in a rush on my day off with many different errands to do, and I had a handful of things related to those errands as I walked out to the car. And I realized, in the day before beep openings of cars, that I couldn't unlock the car with my hands full. So I put a couple things on top of the car, and I unlocked the car, hopped in, and went out and did my errands. About an hour and a half or two later, when I got home, almost simultaneously as I walked in, my wife said, there's a guy on the phone for you. And I took the call and he said, sir, did you lose your wallet? And only then did I realize I had left my wallet on top of the car. I had forgotten it. The big thing. Or the time a teenager in the marching band was really kind of frazzled as he prepared for the halftime really big show on the field. They were in the field house, the whole band, and so at the last minute he had to grab something and the director called for everybody to come and to get in the line and to go out onto the field. And so he rushed and rushed and got in line and they went out on the field and the band did a great job. He played every note the way he should. And he knew when to turn left and when to turn right. However, He played the air trombone. You see, he had forgotten his instrument in the field house, but good soldier that he was, he went on pretending the whole time that he was playing. He had forgotten his instrument. Or the young mom who many years ago, right here in this congregation, came to church with her three kids, 6, 4, and 1, and her husband was not with her. They did the Sunday school thing and church and the whole bit, and then right after, she rushed out and went over to ShopRite, had a few things to get, and she reports later that it was somewhere in the produce department that she looked down and realized she had forgotten her one-year-old in the church nursery. Well, some things are hard to forget, and yet they do get forgotten. What things do you forget at times? And another question is, what things can't you forget? That's right. What things can't you forget? Today in our sermon series, we conclude the look at the reality that God is a God of healing. We've talked about how God heals relationships and our bodies and our souls. And today we conclude by looking at what the scriptures say about healing past painful memories. Past painful memories. The reality is, it's almost a universal truth that people all seem to have some painful memories they wish that they could be rid of. Painful memories from family or friends, from coworkers or strangers. Painful memories from last week or 30 years ago. Right now, I imagine you can think of some painful memory that continues to bounce around in your mind that you would like to be rid of. We can think about these painful past memories in one of three categories. The first is the things that you do to another person, the things you have done to hurt another person. Now, we're all human, and we do make mistakes, and we do hurt other people. So perhaps you have a memory of when, just for some reason you don't even know, you did something and you know it hurts someone else. Maybe in a really bad day, you told a lie or stole something or took something from someone. Maybe a long time ago in your youth, you hurt someone badly. We do things that hurt other people. We all do. Kathy came to see me years ago with one of the most horrendous stories of how she had hurt her own child because she got out of her car with her 3-year-old on the roadside, held her child's hand while she closed the door, but her child pulled away and walked out into the road and was killed. When these things happen, when we do things to hurt others, the memories bring guilt. And that's what you heard in Psalm 51 this morning, where David, the writer of the psalm, is praying to God to please take away his guilt and his pain. Listen to a portion of it again. I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. You only, against you only have I sinned, he says. I have done what is evil in your sight. He is asking for his guilt to be taken away because guilt is a toxic poison that can destroy our lives. When we do things against other people, when we hurt others, especially those dear to us, guilt is a heavy price. Another category of things that we want to be rid of, painful memories, are things that others have done to us. And again, we've all had people, for one reason or another, who have done something to hurt us. Perhaps we were fired unjustly. Perhaps a friend stole something from us. Some person failed to help us. Someone did something, and we were hurt. And you know those pains. And those pains often cause us to be angry. And so when we have things that we do to others, we feel guilt. When others hurt us and these memories stay with us, we feel anger. And the third category is when we do things to hurt ourselves. When we do things to hurt ourselves, there are many ways that we do that. Maybe you broke the law at some point. Maybe you drank too much alcohol and did something that hurt other people. Maybe you had an inappropriate relationship. Things we do that hurt ourselves, those experiences give us shame. So these past experiences in our lives might make us feel angry or guilty or ashamed. And they all come together to form this pile of memories that seem to just keep coming back. Keep coming back. It's a little bit like what we do with a suitcase. It seems like we keep our painful memories in a suitcase. When they happen, we put them in, and then every so often we open the suitcase and take a look. We remember, we reminisce, we feel the pain again. We feel the sorrow, the guilt, the anger, the shame. Then we close it up and we just keep it close. We don't really want to, but we do. These painful memories do not help us and only hurt us. And we want to get rid of them, but most times we don't know how. How would you get rid of your painful memories? Well, there's the good news for the day. Paul, in his writing to the church in Corinth, says, this is how you do it. This is how you get rid of painful memories. The people in Corinth had their own past. We don't know exactly what they were, but clearly they were struggling with the old stuff of their lives. But now they had converted to Christ, and Paul wants to help them see how they can get rid of the old and start over. Wouldn't you like to do that? Wouldn't you like to get rid of the old and just start over? Well, Paul counsels them for that. He says, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creature. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. If anyone is in Christ, the old has passed away. The new has come. The old? The old that we all would love to have pass away is the soul weariness of our constant repetition of things from our past. It's the mental exhaustion as we go back over and over the things we have done and the guilt we have felt, or the anger we feel because someone did something against us, or the shame that we feel because of what we did to ourselves. And over, we run mental tapes, and these tapes seem to just go on, and things trigger them. And there we are, opening the suitcase again. Paul says, you can be rid of that. That's the old. The perpetual conversations we have with each other, rather with ourselves. Talking to ourselves, I should have done this. No, you could have done that. Over and over. These painful memories from the past serve us no good and are not what God wants of us. Indeed, if we obsess over them for too long, they can make us physically and mentally sick. Paul says, the old, these things can pass away if you will embrace the new. He says the new is to become in Christ. He says, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to be in Christ? Well, think about it in other ways where we talk about being in. So the Bible, for example, talks about how Jesus was in the wilderness. What does that mean? That means the wilderness was all around him. It was surrounding him. He's here and in the wilderness, and the wilderness is surrounding him. Think of it this way. A baby is in its mother's womb. We say the baby is in the mother's womb. What does that mean? It means that the baby is completely surrounded by the amniotic fluid and by its mother. The baby is in the womb. I have a job. My job is in Hackettstown. When I am at my job in Hackettstown, Hackettstown as a community, as a boundary, is all around me, isn't it? I am in this town, this community, these bounds. And when a young couple says, "We are in love," what they are seeking to say is that love surrounds us and is a part of everything in our lives. Paul says to be in Christ is to become new. To be in Christ means to be surrounded by Christ. It means that whichever way you turn, Christ is there. It means when you turn to this side and you have your issues of your priorities, Christ is there. When you turn to this side and you have issues of your values, Christ is there. Whichever way you turn, Christ is there. And Christ informs and guides your decisions and your actions in all aspects of who you are. That is what it means to be in Christ. When you do that, there's no room for the old. When you do that, old things pass away and you begin to be so infused with the things of Christ and the teachings of Christ and the values of Christ that there's just no room. And you begin to see, feel in a deeper and better way what it means to follow Christ and who Christ is. A wonderful story is told in the Philippines. Out of a village in the Philippines, there was a rumor, confirmed then, of a little girl who was talking to Jesus. Now the villagers around got very excited, and then the word got to Manila and to the Catholic headquarters there. And finally, a Monsignor in a big church there said, "I want to talk to this little girl. I want to be sure she's talking to Jesus." So they sent this little girl to Manila, and he talked to her. In fact, over a week, he interviewed her for 3 different times, trying to figure out if it was real, if it was true, what was going on. And he couldn't make anything of it. Finally, he said to the little girl, "I want you to go back to your village. And I want you to talk to Jesus the next time. And when you do, I want you to ask him what it was that I confessed in my last confession. You be sure to ask him, what did I confess in my last confession? And if you can tell me that, then I'll know that you're talking to Jesus." "You understand?" he said to the little girl. "Yes," she said. And she went back to her village, and soon enough, she had a conversation with Jesus. Afterwards, she was summoned back to the Monsignor, and he was pretty excited. He said, "Okay, now I want to know. You did ask him, right? What I confessed at my last confession." And she said, "Yeah, I asked him." And the Monsignor said, "Well, what did he say?" And she said, "Jesus said, I forgot." When you begin more and more to be infused with and surrounded by Christ, you begin to deeply understand the very nature of God and the qualities of God that make for such a beautiful life of discipleship. When you are in Christ, you see yourself the way God sees you. The toxic things we've been talking about in the past often distort the image we have of ourselves. We often think of ourselves as unworthy, sinful, horrible, incapable. But when Christ is in us, we begin more and more to see ourselves the way God sees us, lovable, worthy, capable children of His, whom He loves beyond measure. when you are in Christ, you begin to see the cross with all of its power, more and more. Oh yes, we know the cross. But when you take your memories and your toxic past memories and you set them aside and replace them with the cross and feel and see the power of the cross, that you are forgiven, that indeed Jesus has forgotten, that surely Christ died not just for everyone else but for you, then you are in Christ. And when you are in Christ, you see the future with hope. When we take and hold on to our toxic past memories, they weigh us down, they burden us, they discourage us. But when we are in Christ, there's no room for those things, and the future begins to be that hopeful, optimistic place where we want to go with Christ, because there is so much possibility and so much good that the past is the past and the future with God is beautiful. And so what we really need to do, friends, is to take the suitcase of your painful memories. And you all have them. And you need to give them to God. And you need to leave them at the altar. You need to leave them at the cross. Don't pick them up anymore. You don't need them. Instead, surround yourselves with the truths of Christ. Step more and more in Christ. And you'll be amazed that you realize then you have no reason to look back. That there's no value or purpose in perpetually remembering or worrying about things that have happened, because you know that you've got beautiful tomorrows waiting because Christ is there. That's what it means to live in Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, we know your will for us. We know, Lord, that you desire wholeness and healing. So right now, Lord, we tell you something of our past. We name it before you, that painful memory that's been so hard to get rid of. And as we name it before you now, God, we pray that you will wash it away by the blood of Christ, and that you will give us strength and guidance to walk more and more with Christ and in Christ, letting go forever of the painful things of our past. Guide us, Lord. Give us strength. And thank you. Thank you for your forgiving love in Christ. Amen.